I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The New World Report with Joseph Umar, Secure Free Society's Executive Director. And we leave the trouble in Colombia and the trouble along the Venezuela border to go to the fresh and surprising trouble in Peru. A name from the 20th century is back in the news. Shining Path splinter group kills 14 in pre-election jungle massacre reads the headlines out of London. The Guardian, two children among dead in remote hamlet. Opening graph, at least 14 people, including two children, have been killed by a splinter group of the Shining Path rebel group in a brutal attack on a remote jungle hamlet. Leaflets reportedly scattered at the site of Sunday's massacre warn locals to boycott upcoming presidential elections next month in June, and said anyone who voted for the right-wing candidate Fujimori would be considered a traitor. Joseph, I'm surprised by this because we have been covering that election as illustrative of the two camps in Latin America elections routinely. That would be the business side, sometimes associated with the right wing, and that would be the populist side associated with the left wing. In this case, it would be Keiko Fujimori for the business side and Castillo, the representative of the populist side, the leftist side. When last we turned here, there was reason to believe the polls were closing and that Castillo's large lead was disappearing, particularly because he'd been associated with extreme statements of leveling. The middle class, for example, was feeling threatened. Other remarks that he's made about how he's going to upturn the economy. And now the Shining Path attack. Do I remember correctly that at some point Castillo was in some fashion denouncing or denying or distancing himself from a Shining Path in the distant past? Or was Shining Path always hanging around, looming? I can't recall, Joseph.
Well, he's been accused to have ties to the Shining Path. It particularly comes through one of his right-hand men, which is the head of his political party called Peru Libre, or Free Peru, which is a guy named Vladimir Cerrón. Now, Vladimir Cerrón does have connections, confirmed connections to the Shining Path. He is probably the strong man inside the Castillo group. And so you're right in the sense, John, that Castillo has been trying to distance himself from that narrative, but he hasn't distanced himself from Vladimir Cerrón. Vladimir Cerrón is the key operative behind Castillo. Many people think that Castillo is really just a puppet in the face of the plans that Vladimir Cerrón has for Peru. The stakes of this election couldn't be any higher. Peru's the country that's been hit the hardest by the virus, both in terms of its public health, but also in terms of its economy. We were talking a second ago about Colombia. Colombia has not been hit as hard economically as Peru. Peru's had 11% decline of its GDP. Its poverty rates have jumped to 6% to 27% total. We're talking about like an additional 2 million more people in extreme poverty. Its debt is through the roof. It's at 35% of GDP, which is above the legal limit per its constitution. Like per its constitution, you can't have more than 30% of GDP in debt. They have already crossed that. So Peru's in big trouble. And these elections represent whether Peru's going to go full Venezuela with the populist socialist candidate like Pedro Castillo with people like Vladimir Cerrón and their shady connections to Shiny Path, or they're going to try to get out of this with Keiko Fujimori, who's a well-known politician. Her father was president. She's ran for president 3 times and lost. But the concern is that the distance between her and Castillo is now widening. As last week we reported that it was closing and it was marching into between 3 to 4% difference. It's now extending to 5 to 8% difference, depending on which poll you look. And that's concerning a lot of the Keiko supporters in the country. That's where the context of this recent attack by the Shining Path, which is very weird because, to be honest with you, John, we haven't seen this kind of attack by the Shining Path against civilians. We've seen them clash with police and military, but against civilians where they killed 14 people, 2 children. We haven't seen this in like 20 years inside Peru. So this is a very shocking development if it is, in fact, the Shining Path that did this. And I'm not sure if this actually favors Keiko or Castillo, or it hurts them. It's really a weird circumstance, tragic circumstance. But we're not sure how this is going to play out as we're marching towards this June 6th election in Peru.
It was decades ago, so these attackers would have been very young people when Shining Path was back in the news, or has it been in the news, Joseph? I don't follow these things carefully. Has it been veterans of Shining Path or people who have claimed to be Shining Path? Have they been commenting in the run-up to this election or over these last years?
So the Shining Path is taken in an amorphosis as to what they were back in the 80s and 90s. In the 80s and 90s, they were a guerrilla group, a communist guerrilla group that led into a real bloody confrontation with the Peruvian security forces. I mean, we're talking about 70,000 casualties in 20 years in Peru during that period. But since then, the presidency of Alberto Fujimori, which is the father of Keiko, led to the Shining Path becoming diminished in terms of their guerrilla warfare. But they transformed into a political wing, which is called MOVEDEF, which exists in Peru. They're the ones that do a lot of the political statements. They're looking for amnesty of a lot of the Shining Path guerrillas that were convicted. And they've also transformed into a narco trafficking outfit. And so the particular area where these 14 Peruvians were killed is in a high density narco trafficking area of Peru called the Vrime. That's what's caught my attention, because in that section of Peru, there's all kinds of drug cartels and drug assassins. There's Mexicans, there's Colombians, there's Peruvians, Bolivians. So it's not clear to me exactly who killed these 14 people. And if it was the Shining Path, it would kind of bleed outside of their typical norm. Where in that particular region, they're most engaged in narco trafficking. And the only time they kill people is when you interfere with their business.
About the election in Peru, is this regarded as a standalone by itself, or is it seen as representative of the conflicts throughout Latin America? This violence, it seems discontinuous with other elections, but then again, you know, there's always a twist here. Is Peru looked to by both right and left, or does this violence now make it something other than a mere election?
No election, John, this year or this year forward in Latin America is isolated from the context of what's going on throughout the region, the instability, the economic effects, the external actors. So Peru's election is no different. And in fact, there was an event this past weekend, this Sunday, in conjunction with the inauguration of the new president of Ecuador, neighboring country, which is President Guillermo Lasso. And Keiko Fujimori participated virtually in that event, and something very important happened. Keiko Fujimori's had longtime differences, political differences, with another center-right figure in Peru named Mario Vargas Llosa, a Nobel laureate for literature. There's been no stronger fight between the Fujimoris and the Vargas Llosas in Peru. But in this event, in conjunction with the inauguration of Guillermo Lasso in Ecuador, Fujimori and Vargas Llosa set aside their differences and said that we need to bind forces because we're facing the biggest threat that Peru has ever faced from the left. And that's a strong sign about how serious the rest of the region is taking Latin America. There was former presidents at this event. There was current president, President Duque from Colombia, also sent his regards to the new president of Ecuador, Guillermo Lasso. Guillermo Lasso also sent kind regards to Keiko Fujimori. So there is some unity of effort that's starting to develop among different center-right candidates that are realizing that what's attacking their country is attacking other countries, and they need to bind together. So this was a huge effort. The question is that enough to pull Keiko Fujimori past the finish line in the presidential election so that she could become the next president of Peru?
Joseph, because Peru is facing this election, and there have been a number of elections at turning points, will this influence other elections pending throughout the country, this threat? I mean, this is a direct threat to democracy. If you vote, we will kill you, that sort of thing. It's almost raw. It's so blunt. Do you see this influencing other elections, or is it too early?
No, absolutely. It's gonna have a ripple effect. I think, for instance, the Guillermo Lasso victory in the Ecuador elections that we covered had a positive effect on the Peruvian election. Now the Peruvian results will have an effect on the Chilean election, which is coming up as a neighboring country in a few months. So all these elections are going to have a sort of secondary effect in neighboring countries, because what we're seeing in Latin America are certain ebbs and tides of waves that are trying to take over. A lot of this is coming from radical leftist groups, from violent insurgent terrorist groups that now have political elements, but we're hoping that a lot of this is curbed by the unity that's going to happen by democratic forces in the region. So yes, they have regional effects.
And watching Fujimori now, how she responds matters as well. It's not just about Castillo; it's also about dealing with mass murder, which is what the Guardian is saying this looks like. It's grotesque. I don't think Fujimori deserves this kind of scrutiny, because of course she's a candidate with her own values, but Lordy, she needs to speak bluntly about this kind of attack.
Yeah, Keiko Fujimori has actually been pretty on message throughout this campaign. In previous elections where she's ran for president, she oftentimes would speak too much and get caught up in a battle of words with, or misinterpretation of her words with other political candidates. In this case, she's been very strategic. She's spoken at her debate. She's done targeted but limited media. And in the face of what's going on with the shiny path, she's been very strong. That's probably one of the biggest parts of her campaign, where she's been very strong against the shiny path. But what's interesting about this election is that Keiko Fujimori is running a good campaign, but her percentages aren't growing at the level that you would think it should. And on the flip side, Pedro Castillo, who's a political novice, is making a tremendous amount of mistakes, constantly putting his foot in his mouth, but he doesn't seem to be dropping. So there seems to be other factors in play here. And I think one of the things that is a lot of the votes now that remain for Peru are going to be happening in the rural areas. And that's where the communication needs to take place, because there's a huge disparity between communications that happen in Lima, which is the huge population there, the capital of the country, and what happens in the hinterlands in the rural areas, where they don't always see what happens in Lima. So they need to make a stronger effort there. And I think they also have to make a stronger effort abroad, because there's a lot of Peruvians that vote abroad that could make a significant impact in these elections, mostly in Europe and Spain, and also here in the United States.
I'm speaking with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. He's in North America, and we're observing events, in this instance, violent events in South America. We're going to Panama next, because there's surprising news there as well. After many, many migrants have crossed from Colombia into Panama, headed north to, we believe, the Mexican border, the Panamanians suddenly announced the closing of their border with Colombia. Closing. The talk is of the virus, but is it? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Are we exposed? This is what every security team is wondering. But with vulnerabilities scattered across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos, the truth is out of reach, and attackers know it. There's a better way. Unify to defy risk with Tenable AI-powered exposure management. Tenable brings together all your security data and exposures in one unified view, giving you the attacker's map and revealing the critical paths and weaknesses they can exploit. Now your teams can prioritize intelligently, move decisively, and collaborate without friction. Tenable turns scattered work into a single proactive force. Instead of chasing noise, your team knows where to focus, gaining clarity, control, and speed to reduce cyber risk with confidence. Learn more at tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.